Live from KCUR News, this is Casey Kearns on Central Standard, reporting news and culture in Kansas City's diverse communities and beyond. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. How many holiday cards are you getting this year? How many are you sending? For most people, the answer is fewer than last year. And here in Kansas City, we might feel the impact of that change a little differently than other places. That's because the biggest player in the greeting card industry is based here, Hallmark, of course. Today on Casey Kearns, we take a look at Hallmark's bid to reinvent itself for the digital age. Plus, hear the story of a Casey boxer who gave up his career to fight the mob. He was known as the Chocolate Ice Cube.
You know, he didn't say much. He was really a calm guy, but you put a pair of gloves on him, and he would just dominate.
And we catch up with a homeless man who returned an engagement ring earlier this year. It's Casey Kearns. Listen up just after this news. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Welcome to Casey Kearns. We use stories and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region. When you live in Kansas City, the name Hallmark means a lot of things. It's not just that lovely, sentimental moment or the slogan, when you care enough to send the very best. The century-old company is one of Kansas City's staunchest corporate citizens, and for generations, working there has been a dream job for artists and writers throughout the region. But people just aren't sending cards the way they used to. On today's show, we look at how Hallmark is trying to reinvent itself and the effect that that company's layoffs and restructuring has on Kansas City's life and culture. To kick off the show, we hear a little bit about what longtime employees call the old Hallmark. Hallmarkers past and present get together each year around the holiday season, not for an exchange of greeting cards, but of cookies. Here's an audio postcard of this year's gathering, produced by KCUR's Julie Denishay.
My name is Donna Moore. I started at Hallmark in 1962, and the cookie exchange started in 1965 or 1966. And we decided it would be fun to have a cookie exchange every single year and keep ourselves all in tune with each other. So it's been going on for 40-some years.
My name is Kathy Killip. I came to Hallmark in 1967, and I worked full-time until 1974. Christmas is always important at Hallmark because in the Christmas season, I think they're working on summer things, but you're experiencing Christmas in your homes, and then in the opposite season, you're experiencing Christmas at Hallmark because that's when the designing is done for Hallmark. So it's sort of like Christmas all year long.
My name is Jane Rudish. I am not a Hallmark artist, but I was married to a Hallmark artist, Rich Rudish. When people started with Hallmark in the 60s, they had new artist groups, and those groups really had camaraderie. And they would do things together, and when my husband was in charge of it, they would have social events to bring all these people together who were coming from different states. I mean, they came from all the art schools all over the United States, and this was a way for them to bond, and they did.
My name is Mary Ann Smith Getchell, and I came to Hallmark right out of school from Boston, got hired when I was 20, arrived here on the doorstep at 21. When I first started, we could not wear anything but dresses, and you're painting all the time. I mean, you had to wear a smock. So that's very different when you think of women in the 70s versus 2013. Took a lot of movement forward.
I don't remember ever that any male artists were ever invited. It was sort of a girls' thing, and it was so amazing to get together with all of our friends at Hallmark, because you came away from the cookie exchange being invigorated and refreshed and renewed, because everyone shared such a creativity for life that it was amazing.
My name is Kathy Barnard. I'm a glass artist here in Kansas City. I worked at Hallmark from 1977 to 1980. I opened my studio, my gallery, to have the cookie exchange here. This is probably the second year we've had it here. I love to share what I'm doing with the women here. It's always a wonderful network of people.
To be able to bond with multiple people who have reached a level of giving their creativity and sharing it with everybody, it's like food that replenishes you.
Well, I think that sharing a food is obviously the thing that really brings women together. And these women, dating back from before 1970 when I started, we want to keep together. We want to keep the friendships going that were so strong when we were at Hallmark. We'll be friends forever. I'm sure of it.
Those were the voices of old-time Hallmarkers at a cookie exchange that's been going on since the 1960s. You can find recipes for the cookies and a video from the event on our website, kcr.org. You can just hear the camaraderie between artists and writers who have come from around the country to work for Hallmark in Kansas City. The company, its employees, and former employees have had a big impact on our community's art, business, and philanthropic communities. But as Hallmark adapts its business to the digital age, what changes for Kansas City? Do you look for the little crown when you buy cards? Or do you even give cards out at all anymore? Call us with your thoughts at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And here to talk about the future of Hallmark and its role in Kansas City is Steve Mays, professor and chair of illustration at Kansas City Art Institute. Teaches many students over the years who have gone to work for Hallmark or who may have strived to work there. Welcome to KC Current, Steve.
Thank you.
Also, Carl Franzen, news editor at TheVerge.com, just came to town to write a story called Sorry for Your Loss. Hallmark struggles to update its card empire. Carl's joining us via ISDN from New York City. Hi, Carl.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I don't know if I hear Carl yet, but he will join us in a minute, I believe. Steve, I wonder, what, from your perspective, teaching at the Art Institute, what do you see as students' connection with Hallmark, and how do they connect it with Kansas City?
Well, I think the students at KCAI in the past, Hallmark would come and view a lot of the different portfolios in the illustration department. I think Hallmark now has expanded their opportunity when they come to look at portfolios. And by that, what I mean is they look at the entire school rather than just illustration. So I think they're looking for other similar specific kinds of skills and maybe some new ones as well.
Interesting. So they used to really focus on the illustration department.
That's
and
right.
What did you see as your role? Like how many students over the years, let's say 20 years ago when you started there, how many students would go to work at Hallmark?
Oh, probably over those 20 years, I would think maybe 40 or so, maybe. There was more back in the 90s, and there are now, of course, but in the 90s, the internship at Hallmark was a coveted internship, and everybody was after it. And I think the program, to a certain extent, leaned its offerings in that direction. But over the years, quite a number.
Was there any change over the years from how Hallmark hired nationally versus regionally or locally here in Kansas City?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I do know that some of the other ACAD schools that they visit, and ACAD's an acronym for Association of Schools of Art and Design, are much larger than ours here at KCAI. So for their bang for the buck, if they were looking for talent, some of the other programs at other ACAD schools are a lot larger. So they may be still recruiting at those schools in a heavier way.
What about the University of Kansas? I understand they also – you have taught there in the past?
I have not.
Oh, you have not. Okay.
Not at the – I do have connections there with some of the faculty. And, of course, I'm an alum from there. So once in a while, I go back and return. I do know they have an amazing program there called Hallmark something.
The Symposium.
The
it's
Symposium.
A lecture
series. That's it. Mm-hmm.
That students participate – have to take, I think.
Yeah, I think so. The Hallmark funds the bringing in of a lot of really keynote illustrators and artists. Yeah.
Well, that point that you made about how Hallmark is looking elsewhere is really interesting, not just in the illustration department. Now, I think it gets to what we'll be talking about now with Carl Franzen. I think he's with us now, the news editor at TheVerge.com, who came to Kansas City to write a story about some of the struggles and changes at Hallmark. Carl, welcome to KC Currents.
Thanks, Sylvia. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. What did you learn about Hallmark's significance in Kansas City when you came here to report your story? It seems like you talked to some people who are sort of outside of the industry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we spent a lot of time both at Hallmark headquarters interviewing a lot of the artists and card designers there, as well as the executives. But we were in Kansas City as part of a road trip series that we were doing, traveling to a bunch of different cities around the country. And so we wanted to explore the city and how the Hallmark really fit in with the local culture and, you know, just what people in the city thought of it. And so we did just spend some time traveling around, going to yard sales, just going to different parts of the community, restaurants, bars, talking to people and interviewing them about their opinion and affinity for Hallmark. And as it turns out, you know, of course, Hallmark is still to many people the first brand they think of when it comes to greeting cards and holidays and special occasions. But that being said, a lot of the people that we did speak to either had kids or were familiar with, you know, younger people in their families who, you know, preferred to, you know, maybe send emails or e-cards or, you know, of course, a lot of people use Facebook now to really even send, you know, happy birthday messages or those kinds of, you know, special greetings that would normally be Hallmark's forte.
And did you feel like the Kansas Cityans you talked to, though, felt a special connection to the company because it's based here?
Definitely. I think that, you know, pretty much everybody that's been in the town for, you know, been in Kansas City for any significant period of time, a year or more, recognizes the large cultural influence and presence that Hallmark has in the city. I mean, it's one of the largest employers, I believe the third largest, according to our research. And, you know, it's the members of Hallmark's employee family are of course, you know, members of the community in Kansas City as well. And that's the largest, you know, it's Hallmark's headquarters. So that's where all the artists are based.
And Steve Mays, I wonder if you, from your experience teaching at the Art Institute and teaching students who have gone on to work at Hallmark, how much does the KC arts community owe to Hallmark? And what's the creative culture like there?
Well, Hallmark is an amazing resource of creative talent. They're amazing artists all in one building, and so to speak. And I use it a lot as a resource for teaching staff and I have a few that I use as adjuncts. But more importantly, I see them at every First Friday. I see all of them out in the community, not just visiting galleries, but showing.
All of them being employees or former employees of Hallmark?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. And they're out there, and it's quite a strong presence.
And their creative work extends beyond just their work at Hallmark.
That's true, very much so.
Now, Carl, we're talking about this right now because, of course, it's the holiday season and people are exchanging cards or not right now. But how serious is the decline in the purchase of greeting cards?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one that, you know, we tried to answer. It's difficult to quantify in Hallmark's case in particular because they are still a privately held company, which is, you know, actually quite interesting. I mean, they've been around for over 100 years now, and it's still privately held, and the whole family still controls the company. But what we found is that talking to research analysts, people who study, you know, this industry, that there's been a decline of about, I believe, 5.4%, according to one survey conducted by IBIS, a market analysis firm. 5.4% decline in revenue for the whole industry over the past 5 years. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's certainly enough to have an impact. And that decline is projected to continue through the next 5 years at the very least. So, you know, Hallmark has been public about some of the layoffs that they've had to make in the past 10 and 20 years, beginning around the late 90s. And so, you know, it's certainly an impact that's being felt on them and on the industry as a whole.
And just in the past few months, there was an announcement that there was another round of layoffs and buyouts, partly because they're deciding not to go to continue with the party cups and plates part of their business and changing the process of card manufacturing and probably
right.
to become more efficient. But their sales have slipped. You mentioned that they are a private company, so they don't have to report sales, but they do report some.
That's right. They tend to report, some kind of aggregate numbers as far as, you know, total revenue they made and those sorts of things. So what we're able to glean from them, from what we're able to gather from what they've reported, you know, the company doesn't seem like it's in danger of going away anytime soon. But the question is, I think, that we tried to explore and, you know, I think came close to answering is, you know, what is the role of Hallmark going forward? How big of a part of people's lives is it going to be around special occasions? And, you know, how big are greeting cards going to be in people's lives going forward? And, you know, unfortunately, what we found from the younger generation and people that we talked to is just they don't think of greeting cards for all the occasions that they used to in the past. It's much more of a selective process when they go out and buy a greeting card.
And we had a caller who didn't want to come on the air, but Shelley shared that she always buys Hallmark cards. She really appreciates their environmental policy. She noticed that they have a number of cards manufactured in China, and if that's a growing trend. I know when I actually spoke to somebody at Ibis World who said that it is a growing trend for people to be concerned about cards being manufactured in the U.S. I don't know if that's something that you've looked at all, Carl.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely we see this across industries. You know, we tend to write about technology companies. And so even for things like the Apple iPhone, some of these new high tech tools that people are using to stay in touch, you know, people are concerned about, you know, where they're being manufactured. And Apple moved some of its production over here for their new Mac Pro computer recently, and other companies, Google, which owns Motorola, is manufacturing one of its new flagship phones, the Moto X, in the U.S. So we see this across, you know, various industries. There's been a sort of a renewed sense of interest in the Made in the USA label, and you see that with Hallmark, too.
You're listening to Casey Currents on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. We're talking about Hallmark's changing business strategies with Carl Franson of TheVerge.com and the effects on Kansas City with Steve Mays of the Kansas City Art Institute. Are you a present or former Hallmarker? How has the company changed over the years, and how has the impact on Kansas City changed? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can go to KCUR's Facebook page. What about e-cards, Carl? I know a lot of people are either sending cards digitally or also creating cards digitally, maybe using their own images. That personalization is a big trend. How has Hallmark kind of gotten in on that?
Certainly. There's actually a wide variety of options and offerings that Hallmark has now in both of those categories, both the customized or personalized cards and in terms of just e-cards in general that, you know, offer some customization, perhaps not, you know, uploading images. There are, of course, products that Hallmark offers that do enable that. But there's, of course, many other cards that are pre-created. And from what we spoke, from the employees that we spoke with at the Hallmark headquarters in Crown Center, you know, it really depends on what you're looking for. I think, you know, many of the younger generation prefer customization, but many people still look to greeting cards to say what they can't say. Mm-hmm. That was a common refrain that we heard from Hallmark employees, is that they are able to communicate some of the feelings and emotions that people have for one another and for special occasions that those people might not be able to say themselves. So it might be going a little bit too far to say that Hallmark wants to put words in people's mouths, but it at least wants to give them the tools to be able to, you know, say something meaningful and thoughtful that that customers couldn't, you know, come up with on their own or don't have the time to.
Now, you wrote that Hallmark was a little late to the e-card game.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, in the 90s, they did launch a website that had e-cards, and it just wasn't as large an offering as some of the other startups at the time that have now since either been acquired or just gone out of business. So in that sense, you know, Hallmark's strategy was not necessarily a poor choice for the time. I mean, they clearly saw that they had, you know, a fairly healthy paper card business still, and it just didn't make sense for them, I don't think, to really, you know, pour a bunch of resources into moving things over to the digital side. But nowadays, you know, I think that especially as we talk about the younger generation having access to smartphones, tablets, it's just I think pretty clear to everybody that the future of media consumption is going to occur primarily, if not, you know, in a majority sense through mobile digital devices. So, we could knock them for failing to anticipate that, but it was something that I think has caught a lot of industries by surprise, including, of course, our own, the news and journalism and media industry. So they're playing catch up like the rest of us. It's just taken them a little bit more time, I think, to really figure out what they want to pursue.
Well, this is obviously a much broader question than just Hallmark. But Steve Mays, I wonder what that means for your students and your teaching in the illustration department at the Art Institute, this idea that media is moving not just words, but images too, digitally.
Yeah, we over the years, as Carl mentioned, sometimes it takes companies or it takes institutions a little while to kind of get on the bandwagon with what's going on currently digitally. And I remember huge arguments about whether the computer was a tool or not in the 90s. And that's
over now.
That's far over. Yeah. Now what it means for us is that I think as Hallmark used to come and still does, but in a more broad way of viewing student portfolios, I think what it means to us is that we have made an effort to seek out new internship sites for these students. And what it means is finding smaller companies, startup companies, not relying so much on the large corporation. I remember in the 90s we had the coveted internships were Disney out of Florida, Hallmark here in town, the Kansas City Star locally. All those internships went away when we the school decided to close the illustration program in 2005. They wanted me to bring the program back in the fall of 2010, so we did. And what it means for us now is that we are, because we have an internship requirement for all of our students, and in our program we have over 100, we have to go out and find new sites. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that the smaller startup, smaller company.
I mean, in the advertising industry also?
All over, everywhere.
That's grown in Kansas City, has it?
Mm-hmm. Advertising, editorial, animation, lots of things. But what we found is that the students with the smaller company get to work with the CEO, not for the CEO. And it's an extension of their experience, the internship, to see the company from the inside out rather than just play a peripheral role.
We have a call here from Jim from Kansas City. Hi, Jim.
Sir. Yes.
What's your comment for our guest today?
Well, more of an observation. I have been in the printing and graphic arts industry for over 40 years, and my observation is that, you know, the support industries like printing and graphic arts and craftsmen that have helped produce these cards, the industry itself has been decimated. You know, printers that had committed large amounts of press time and production time to produce those cards are, a lot of them are just history in this community. And to even go further, you know, the paper manufacturers that help support that have been hurt too. So it's a domino effect, and Hallmark itself loses employees, and then the support industry loses employees, and it's changing of the tide. You know, I call on printers throughout the Midwest from Texas to Kansas City, and they're all being impacted by this digital age, and people are trying to figure out what the new normal is just to stay alive.
Is there any way to move forward? I mean, is there any with the move away from paper and towards digital?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that. You know, the press runs get smaller. You talked about, or your guest talked about, customized greeting cards. I mean, those are niches that people are trying to get into in every facet of printing, whether it be, you know, direct mail pieces. I know Hallmark even tried to do customized paper plates to put, you know, if Sally's birthday was on Saturday, they tried to have a paper plate with Sally's picture on it. It's, I mean, everybody's grasping for what's going to keep things going. And, you know, I had a lawyer tell me one time, Jim, you're selling candles. Maybe you just need to get out of the industry. So that's my observation, and I'm in my late 50s. So it's been hard for lots of people, not just Hallmark cards themselves.
Well, thank you, Jim. That's a really good addition to our conversation. And I wonder, Carl of Franson, you know, over the past decade, hundreds of Hallmark gold crown stores have also closed. HMK
yes.
is the new experience store on the plaza, which is kind of a new concept and maybe a sign of the new direction that Hallmark wants to go, maybe to emphasize gifts more than cards. Did you pay a visit to the store while you were here?
Yeah, we actually visited a wide variety of Hallmark stores while we were there. And, you know, it is interesting to see them explore different options with that retail experience. Again, you know, the difficult thing is a retail outfit is still Hallmark talked a lot about the difference between an analog business and a digital business. And so a retail and their executives, including the people in charge of their digital division, were very clear that, you know, most of Hallmark's name recognition and the goodwill that the brand has built up still exists in what we could consider an analog space or a physical environment, whether that be going to a retail, a Gold Crown store or this new type of experience or just getting that paper card in the mail. It's all these tangible things that, you know, we're used to from just years and years, over 100 years in the case of Hallmark, of business. Now, the issue is going forward, lots of people are choosing to consume media, whether that be physical media or digital media, through mobile devices and through computers. So, you know, you look at something like Amazon or eBay, and lots of people are ordering stuff online. They just don't want to get up and go to the store. It's just more convenient, especially, you know, if you live far away from a store that you might choose to visit or a store that carries the products that you want. It's easier to order that online if that's, you know, available.
But
to
I understand
you,
so. That at HMK on the plaza, which is right next to the Apple store and Lucky, which is kind of interesting, but they'll give you a cookie when you walk in, which you can't get from Amazon.com.
Well, not yet, at least. I mean, Amazon, I know, is already has some experiments going on where they're delivering groceries in San Francisco. They deliver wine in, I think, over a dozen states at this point. So, you know, they're coming for that too, unfortunately, for those who appreciate sort of the, you know, in-store or in-retail brick-and-mortar experience.
We have a call here from Eleanor here in Kansas City. Hi, Eleanor.
Hello, Sylvia. I just wanted to make one quick comment about Hallmark. It was not only just cards. Joyce Hall of the Hall family started, this is back in the 40s, when downtown Kansas City was thriving, a beautiful store with beautiful art subjects in there, crystal, silver, jewelry. And you could go in that store and you it was like going into a museum. You didn't have to have deep pockets to enjoy it. He would invite you in to see the beautiful things. And this store then moved to the plaza. And they continued with this same type of beautiful in the department of silver and crystal and their jewelry. And that, in my sense, inspired many artists. And many artists visited the store. And that's another area of Hallmark that should be recognized, because I think the Hall's Plaza store was always considered the adopted child of Hallmark.
Interesting.
But it is absolutely the very inspirational to all artists in the city.
And, of course, that store is now going to consolidate with the store at Crown Center, which is going to be remodeled and expanded. And that's something that we can't even really get to today, but the changes at Crown Center and how the company's success or challenges will impact that. But thank
that's
you so
true.
Much for that
that's
comment.
True.
I appreciate that. Just quickly, Carl, I just wonder, what about these gifts and objects that Hallmark's working on? Steve Mays mentioned that they're looking in other departments at the Art Institute for students, perhaps from sculpture or from other aspects of the school, to come up with ideas for other things besides cards.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we saw a lot of efforts going towards, other types of keepsakes and gifts, just experiments around that taking place at Hallmark. There's a new laboratory that they have in the Hallmark headquarters at Crown Center, where artists can go up and experiment with some high tech tools to help create these types of new toys or gifts. So there's 3D printers up there where you can prototype a plastic toy. There's laser cutters where you can. We saw people, interestingly enough, creating handcrafted looking cards. So maybe something that looked like a woodcut, let's say, And so it was really striking to us. I think myself and the video producers who went down with me to see these high tech tools being used to give the appearance that the card was handcrafted, that the card or the gift was made out of wood, but really it was plastic or something like that. So a lot of interest and experimentation in that area, people experimenting with balloons, educational toys, robotic voice activated plush dolls that sync with mobile apps. So a lot of experimentation going on.
Interesting. Well, unfortunately, we have to end our conversation here. Carl Franson is news editor for TheVerge.com. He recently wrote about Hallmark. You can find a link to his story on our website. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Steve Mays heads the illustration department at the Kansas City Art Institute. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.